we've reached the last week of the year, and Chazal say that whoever does tshuva the last day of the year, it's like he did tshuva the whole year. You have to understand what that means, because whenever you do tshuva, it helps retroactively and erases the sin retroactively. So what is the significance of doing tshuva the last day of the year as if you did tshuva the whole year? Whenever you did tshuva and you have to erase the sins you've done up until then, it erases the sins up until then. So there must be something more special about doing tshuva the last day of the year. We find many sources that there is importance in finishing. We make a celebration when we finish something. The major source is that when Shlomo HaMelech finished building the Beis HaMikdash, he made a celebration. And from there, the Gemara says, Mikan she'osim simcha bigmara shel Torah. Whenever you finish a unit in Torah, you make a simcha. We have a siyum. You finish a book in the Tanakh, or you finish a book in the Gemara. You make a siyum, right? A celebration of finishing. There even is sources that when you have a mitzvah that takes an extended amount of time to do, for instance, they used to cut wood for the altar over a few months in the year. When they finished cutting the wood for the altar, right, and they weren't able then to cut any more, so they made a simcha, Tu B'Av, the 15th day of Av. That's one of the reasons why it's a celebration. Some say that when we finish counting the Omer, it's a mitzvah that takes a long time, we have a special celebration on Shavuos, and that's why we have a dairy meal, to show that it's something special, not just for the Yontif, it's for finishing the mitzvah of counting the Omer. So in any case, we see that finishing is something to celebrate, so it's obviously something important. We also have a chazal that says, HaKol HaLeich Achar HaGemar, everything goes on how you finish. And another chazal that says, Achron Achron Chaviv, the last is the most precious. And finally, another source that finishing is important, it says that if somebody starts a mitzvah and somebody else comes along and finishes it, the credit is given to the one who finishes it. Ein ha-mitzvah nikra al shem gomra. The mitzvah is called on the name of the one who finishes it. So all of these sources seem to point to the fact that finishing is extremely important and a reason to celebrate. Now I'm going to tell you two sources that finishing is not important at all. First one, a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah says, Lo alecho hamalacha ligmar. You don't have to finish anything. So finishing is obviously not a value to itself. And then there's something the Chafetz Chaim explains that we say at a siyum, and it seems to be totally incongruous to a siyum. What do we say at a siyum? Modim anachnu lufanecha Hashem Elokeinu v'Avoseinu, we thank the Ribono Shel Olam, shesamta chelkeinu ben yoshvei beis hamedrash, that he gave our portion amongst those that sit and learn Torah, the low bain yoshvei kronos, and not by the people who sit on the corners and waste away their time. Sha'anu mashkimin v'hei mashkimin, we get up and they get up. Anu mashkimu l'divrei Torah, we get up for Torah learning. V'hei mashkimu l'dvarim b'teilim, and they get up for wasted, idle things. Anu amelim v'hei amelim, we work and they work. Anu amelim u'mekablim schar, v'hei amelim v'einu mekablim schar. We work and get rewarded, they work and don't get rewarded. Says the Chafetz Chaim, that's not true. Nobody works and doesn't get rewarded. It's just difference in reward. Everybody works for some reward. Either they work for money, or they work for covet, or they work for satisfaction. They work for something. That's their reward. What it should have said is, we work and get eternal spiritual reward, and they work and get temporal physical reward. But they work and don't get rewarded. It doesn't make sense. Says the Chafetz Chaim, it does make sense. If you give lumber to a carpenter and tell him to make you a table, and you'll pick up the table in a month, and a month later, you go to pick up your table, and the wood is just lying there in a pile like it was when you gave it. And the carpenter gives you a bill for $500. And you say, what is exactly the bill for? He says, all the work I put into your wood. I carry it up 10 flights of stairs every day and down 10 flights of stairs. I practice putting nails in it and taking out the nails and filling up the holes. Put a lot of work into your wood. I'd like to be paid for it. Would you pay him? No. Why? Because in the physical, material world, you don't pay for work. You pay for results. Commensurate to how much work was put in. But the payment is for the results. In the spiritual world, you don't have to produce results. You just have to put in the effort. And you get rewarded for the effort. You come to this class and you don't understand a word I'm saying. You go out of here more confused than you came in. You'll get rewarded for all the time that you spent listening to me. And not only that, in the next world, you'll understand that amount of Torah. So you get rewarded not for the results, you get rewarded for the effort. That's what the Chafetz Chaim says it means. We work and get rewarded. They work and don't get rewarded. They only get rewarded for results, not for work. So if that's the case, that you don't have to produce results, why are we celebrating when we finish something? If you don't have to finish, right, and finishing is not the value, then why do we celebrate by a siyum? What's so special about ending? Right? Ending the year and ending a mitzvah, whatever. Therefore, I want to say that the simcha, the celebration of making a siyum, right, a finishing, is not finishing. The finishing itself is not a value to itself. But there is a benefit that comes from finishing, that that's what we're celebrating. It's not the finishing itself. What is that? The word siyum has another meaning. Aside from to finish, complete, it also has the following connotation. In the Gemara, in Bava Basra, it says that when you sell a field and you write a document to validate the sale of the field, so in the document, you have to be Mesayim Metzrinohi, which means you have to identify and outline the borders of the field. So you have to identify the field. How do you do that? By outlining the borders. I'm selling you the field which is bordered on the north with a gas station, on the south by a garden, and so on. So that outlines the borders of the field. So the word l'sayim can mean also to outline and identify. Now, let me tell you what I think it means. Do you ever do one of these 500-piece jigsaw puzzles? They usually come in a box, and the cover of the box is a picture of what the puzzle is supposed to be. What happens if you went to a yard sale and they had in a plastic bag 500 pieces of puzzle, but they lost the box and they don't remember exactly what the picture was? Now you have to put it together. Okay, you get it at a really reduced price because you have no idea, but everything is there, all the pieces are there. You take a look at all these pieces, they make absolutely no sense. You begin to put them together and they start to make sense. Oh, here's blue, looks like a sky, little bit of gray, white, clouds. Down here is green and brown, looks a little bit like grass and earth. And as you begin to put it together, the pieces begin to make sense as you put them together. When can you really appreciate the significance of every piece? When you put the last piece in. You see the whole picture. Now every piece is identified. That's a siyum. You're not celebrating ending something. And I think the reason, therefore, that we start immediately, again, there's other reasons. But one reason why we start immediately is to say we're not celebrating finishing, because we're starting. But we're celebrating something else. We're celebrating the fact that once I finish that last line, I put the last piece in the puzzle, I understand the whole unit, I learned a lot better. Because otherwise it doesn't make sense. You could learn something for a year, a few hours a day, many, many lines a day, you don't make any celebration. The last day you learn one line, and all of a sudden you make a big celebration for one line. Now that one line is like relearning the whole thing. Because when you put that last piece in, it sheds light and puts into a new perspective everything you learned until then. Imagine if you never learned the Book of Bereishis. You don't know any of the stories, you have no idea what's coming. And you begin to read it. So you read about the creation of the world. Okay, but how does that happen? Then all of a sudden you learn that there's a first day, a second day, when there's 6 days, 7 days. Now already you have a different perspective on all the days. But you still don't know what's coming. And all of a sudden you start learning about Adam and Chava and what happened with them, what happened with their children, and who their children was, and the flood, and so on. When can you really appreciate every incident in the book of Bereishis in light of the development of history? When you finish with the end of the development of the beginning of the development of the Jewish people with Yosef's death, all of a sudden everything in that book now takes on a new meaning, new perspective based on the whole. You see the parts according to the whole. So learning that last line is like putting the last piece in the puzzle, and now you're relearning the whole puzzle. Now the whole thing makes more sense. That is the celebration. That's why in this week's Sedra, it says that the blessings are going to come and the curses are going to come and we're going to be in Galus. And then it says, Va'omar hador ha'acharon, the last generation, your children and the non-Jewish world will come and ask, why did this happen to these people? Why were they sent into Galus? Why this total destruction? So he's bothering me. What's dor ha'acharon? This is not the last generation in what? In the history of the world? Last generation of Galus? What? Which last generation is it? I was thinking what it means is only a generation that saw everything, and the Torah says that when all these things will come to pass, the blessing and the curse, then you'll be moved to do tshuva. The blessing has nothing to do with it. When you get all these curses, you'll be moved to do tshuva, but it's not true. It's only when you see the whole picture, you see the positive that could be, you see the negative that happened, you put it all together, you understand what you're missing. If you had done what's right, that gives you the incentive, the tshuva. Just seeing all the curses is not going to, it's the whole picture. The Dor HaAcharon means a generation that comes and feels itself an end, that we can look back and see the whole picture. Then they will come to the realization and ask the questions, why did all this happen? But when you don't see the whole picture and you're in the midst, you're not going to be able to make that assessment. So it's only Hador HaAcharon, the ones that feel that we've reached a time now where we can look back and see a total picture, they can make this assessment. That's what it means, Hador HaAcharon. And I was thinking, that's why it says the mitzvah is called on the name of the one who finishes it. Now I would understand that simply if it was talking about a case where somebody started a mitzvah, abandoned it, and somebody else came and saved it. So the mitzvah is called on the one who saved it. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about the following, the source. When the Jewish people left Egypt, so they had two mitzvahs to do. One to get gold and silver from the Egyptians, and the other to get the bones of Yosef. Everybody opted for the first one, except for Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu went to get the bones of Yosef when everybody else was getting gold and silver. And he supervised the carrying of these bones in the desert for 40 years. And he would have loved to finish the mitzvah and bury Yosef in Shechem. It wasn't his fault. He didn't abandon the mitzvah. He died. God wouldn't let him go into Eretz Israel. It was be against his will. So he didn't what's it called, abandon the mitzvah, but he didn't finish it. And therefore, the pasuk says, "V'yas'atzmos Yosef asher helu b'nei Yisrael mi'mitzrayim kavru b'Shechem." The bones of Yosef that the Jewish people took out of Mitzrayim, they buried in Shechem. So it gives credit to the Jewish people, not to Moshe. So why? I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu did 9/10 of the mitzvah. He would have loved to finish it. He couldn't, beyond his control. Why is he not given the credit? So I think the answer is, it doesn't mean that Moshe didn't get the reward. He got, for sure, most of the reward, if not all the reward, also because if you want to do a mitzvah and you can't, you get rewarded as if you did. So he got the entire reward. And the Jewish people got reward for what they did. That's not what we're talking about. It doesn't say somebody who starts a mitzvah and somebody else finishes it, the one who finished it gets the reward. It doesn't say that. It says it's called on the name of the one who finishes it. What does that mean, to be called on your name? How do you get a mitzvah to be called on your name? So in our world, you pay a lot of money and your name gets to be on the mitzvah, right? This ark was donated by what's it called, this. But there's another way of getting your name on the mitzvah, more intrinsically, by bonding with the mitzvah, where the mitzvah is not just something you did, but it's something that's part of you. And then the mitzvah in the heavens is called on your name. You have to bond with that mitzvah. It has to become part of you. So the way to do that, it says, if you marmoser nefesh, you put your soul into that mitzvah, so you and the mitzvah bond. But you have to be able to bond with the mitzvah. Only somebody who can see the whole picture can bond with a mitzvah. It's impossible to bond with something if you only see it fragmented. Neither did Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu only saw a portion of that mitzvah. He couldn't bond with the mitzvah. It wasn't something complete by him. By the Jewish people, they saw the part that Moshe did, and they saw their part. So they could see the entire picture of this mitzvah, they could bond with it. So therefore the mitzvah is called on the name of the one who finishes it, not that he gets the reward and the other person doesn't. It's just that in order for the mitzvah to be called on your name, it has to become part of you. It can't become part of you if you don't see the whole thing, if you only see a fragment. Okay. And that is the idea of tshuva, the last day of the year, which we started with. Why it's different than any other tshuva. I'll give you an example. A person goes into business. Okay. And before he goes into business, he has to outlay a lot of money. He has to buy stock, he has to rent a place, put down a security deposit for the electricity, the gas. He's thousands of dollars in debt before he starts his business. Then he opens and he says to himself, this business is ridiculous. I haven't even opened my doors yet, I'm in debt. So I really made a mistake in going into this business. Then he opens the doors of his business, people come in and buy out all the stock. Now he's thousands of dollars in the black. He says, wow, this is a great business. This keeps up every day. I'll be a millionaire in no time. Next day he realizes he has to reinvest some of the money in stock because he doesn't have any stock. All of a sudden this bill comes, somebody returns something or whatever. So he's down a little bit, not so much in the black. And this goes on the whole year. Some days the business looks profitable. Some days it looks terrible. Some days it looks mediocre. How do you know if the business is profitable or not? The answer is you wait till the end of the year, you make inventory, and you add up all your profits and all your losses and all your expenses and all your stock, and you come to a bottom line. I am in the black or in the red. That's how you know. And until you see the whole picture, you can't really assess and know where you're holding. Same thing goes with life. Some days we get up in the morning and we're really gung-ho and we daven with great kavana, and you pass a poor person in the street and you comfort him and give him money, and by the time you go to sleep you think that you are a tzaddikus who Art Scroll is going to write a book about any day. Next morning you wake up late, you daven in about 3 minutes, you kick the poor person on your way to work, right? You're a really miserable person the whole day. By the time you go to sleep, you think you are the wickedest person that ever existed. Next morning you wake up, you're mediocre. Next morning you're back to be the tzaddikus. Life has ups and downs. Some days we really are positive, some days really negative, some days somewhere in between. How do you know what you really are? What is you and what is out of character? So you wait till the end of the year, and you look through the whole year, the ups, the downs, the mediocre, and you see what is the pattern and what is the yotzei min haklal, the exception to the rule. What's the rule, what you are, and what the quirks are where you acted out of character. Right? Is your character the up days and the down days were quirks, or is the down days the character and the up days were the quirks? So really when you do tshuva the last day of the year, it's not a tshuva of one day that helps retroactively. It's a tshuva of the whole year. Because now you can do tshuva and see the whole year in its real perspective. That's what it means. That's the greatness of doing tshuva the last day. Not because of the time that it's the last, but it's a chance to see the whole picture of your whole year. And therefore to get a real perspective on who you are and what you are and what you have to do tshuva on. That's the idea. That's why it could be the last mitzvah in the Torah is to write the Sefer Torah, because now you can see the whole picture, right? And that's how the Torah ends, by being able to put it all into perspective. And that is the Shira, that's the song. The Torah is called the song. A song, you can't have an incomplete song. A song is made up of many notes or whatever in a composition that has a beginning and an end and a middle. And the song is a song because it's complete. And you can really appreciate the whole thing. So the Torah is a song. It has a beginning, a middle, an end. And all the notes fit in only when you can see the entirety. And that could be why once every 7 years, at the end of Shemitah, we have a mitzvah of Hakel. All Jews get together, men, women, children, and they listen to the Melech, the king, read from Sefer Devarim. Why? Sefer Devarim is the end of the Torah. Puts the whole thing in perspective. And every 7 years is the end of a period of time. Time goes in units of seven, right? 7 years, you finish a unit, you're able to look back and see a whole unit of time in perspective, read the end of the Torah to put that in perspective, and now you can put your life into perspective as a nation a little bit more. It's like a re-acceptance of the Torah. So that is how we finish a year. The finishing is not we're celebrating that's over. We're celebrating that now we have a perspective on that whole year, and we can look from that perspective and decide what we want to take from that year into the new year, and what we want to leave in history, leave behind as excess baggage. So in Yirtzeh Hashem, we should come to the end of the year, right? Be able to do tshuva, start a new year, right? It says that what's it called? Tichle shana v'kilvoseho, that the old year with all of its curses end, and tochel shana birchoseh, that a new year with only blessing begin. And the Yirtzeh Hashem, this year, which is Shnas HaTisha, Hey Tav Shin Ayin Hey. So in the past we said some other ideas, but the word Tisha can also be read Teshua, salvation. So this should be the year of Teshua, right, of salvation, and for everybody individually from their specific problems, and from Klal Yisrael from its major problems, and Mashiach should be able to come.
Amen. Amen.